and welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. We welcome you guys back. And today, Luke, we get to talk about your favorite position group in the entire world of American football. That would be the specialists.
This is really what differentiates, most sports, right, from football. You have guys that get to do something that basically is very unique. It's still very important, and they can score lots of points. Most importantly, I like to note that most of the highest scoring football players of all time are kickers. Most people don't know that. It has nothing to do with their longevity. It has everything to do with their incredible skills. So I want to make sure everybody understands how important kickers are to this this game of winning and losing in football.
And not just the kickers, not just the punters, but the holders as well as the long snappers. Minnesota's going to be going into year four with Perham Zone back there being the long snapper.
Well, let's not overlook. You know, Minnesota has a rich tradition of place kick holders, right? There's an award named for the best place kicker each year. It's the Pete Mortel Holder of the Year Award.
And the crazy part about that is the SBs recognize that. I don't know if they still do.
They do.
But yeah, the first, I think it was the second year Peter did it. The SBs ran with it, and they like had it at their award show.
That's Pete awesome. Got to get
it. I mean, so if it's ESPN recognized, I mean, you tell me how important it is.
Yeah, no, it's legit. But then again, it's not just kickers, right? There's the return games. There's covering kicks as well. And you know, these are actually probably some of the more dangerous plays in all of football, but also simultaneously some of the most exciting and most interesting. So when we talk special teams, I think primarily people mostly focus on kickers. So let's start there. I guess where I'm really interested, Ryan, is punter. They're trying to replace a Ryan Santoso, you know, who was their leading punter last year. Herbers had one punt for 11 yards. That wasn't that great. We all kind of remember that. Santoso was solid, right? I don't think he really turned into what we thought, but he's still going to be a little bit difficult to replace, mostly because we just don't know who is going to replace him.
Ain't that the truth? And as we record here, I don't know that I've seen a punt in practice. So for all of you that are like, hey, who's going to punt? I'm like, hey, good question.
Well, before we get into that, just to recap the Ryan Santoso days, when he was a kicker, do you remember the 2-point conversion they tried to convert with him? And
it was him versus a guy who was like 40 pounds less than him.
Yes, and he got
crumbled.
That was brutal. That was brutal.
I guess, it plays like Tarzan, but doesn't exactly like James.
Yeah, so punter, Herbers is the only one returning with kick experience to the roster, at least in the Big Ten.
With one punt under his belt?
Yeah, with one punt for 11 yards.
Yikes.
Yeah, not, it seems scary, but there's a grad transfer that came in as well. I mean, I got to imagine he's vying against Herbers. But are we going to see, Herbers is kind of that, he's that rugby style punter, right? If I remember correctly, or am I wrong?
That's what he tried last year.
Oh, okay.
In that specific situation. And I don't know that he ever would want to go back to it again, considering it was one punt for 11 yards.
Yeah.
So you look at the punting situation. I mean, Ryan Santoso last year, 66 punts, 43 yard average, 20 of those 66 were fair caught. And then he had 14 of those 66 inside the 20. 50-plus percent of his punts last year were either fair caught or inside the 20. So,
which is a decent ratio, by the way.
I would imagine so. You are the special teams expert. I don't pretend to know where that 51.5% ratio is in relationship to other people in the Big Ten. But, again, Santoso, for him, he always had a big leg. I mean, anyone who went to practice the last 3-4 years, you knew that when the ball hit his foot, there was just a different thud that just kind of came off his foot with the amount of leg strength he was able to generate. Now, it wasn't always able to be able to place that in the right way or being able to connect on that consistently. So that's where, what does Minnesota do? Jacob Herbers is certainly, to me, the front runner right now from Michigan. a walk-on. He's a left-footed. He's a left-footed punter. Minnesota also brought in Alex Melvin, an SMU grad transfer punter. For those of you who are not elite SMU punting minds, Alex Melvin went there for, I believe, 3 years, never punted in a game. So while he's a grad transfer and you're like, oh, great, we have a punter with some experience. Well, I mean, he's old.
Yeah.
I mean, he's older than Herbers, or maybe he's as old, but he hasn't kicked. And then maybe the wild card here would be Grant Wierse, because it's time to figure out what you're doing here with Mr. Wierse from East Ridge High School.
He's on scholarship, right?
And that's my point. You have a scholarship specialist that if you can't figure out a role for him this year, what are you doing? I mean, like, he was brought in as a kicker, but that didn't really work. Or, you know, what are you doing? And now he's punting, or at least he was in the spring. He, you know, from the little I've seen at the practices I've been at, again, they're not doing a whole heck of a lot special teams wise in terms of if they're doing returning, they're just putting it into the machine and it's just throwing it up high. Or again, it's not extremely expansive. So, you know, does Grant Wierse maybe make an appearance? I mean, I'm not betting on it, but crazier things have happened. So again, when you look at Jacob Herbers, a left footed kicker, 6'2", 215, I mean, if you're just able to, you know, have that 43 to 45 yard average, that'd be, again, it's not elite, but it'd be fine, especially if you're able to place that outside the numbers, give your kick coverage unit, you know, have them be able to kind of do some things. Because you look at Minnesota in terms of special teams rating last year, according to Football Study Hall, SB Nation, you know, the first thing when I showed Luke this in the pre-production meeting, he goes, these people have way too much time on their hands.
They do. Which,
yeah, they do. But, you know, Minnesota special teams weren't special. And that was kind of the calling card for Jerry Kill's special teams and how they won close games was they beat them in the field position battle and
right.
And you know, with special teams. Minnesota's punt success rate last year, 48.5%. What does that mean? That means they were bottom 20% in all of college football in terms of being able to be successful on a punt. You know, great, Ryan Santoso punts at 57 yards, but if the kid gets a 27-yard return because Rhino kicked his coverage, that's a net 30 yards, and that's not good. So Minnesota needs to be able to, whoever their punter is, again, if you're just going to give me a consistent 45, Jacob Herbers, Alex Melvin, Grant Wierse, fine. If you just place it outside the numbers, and then when Minnesota's kicking from around midfield, just place it inside the 20 and call it a day. Not asking you to boot at 65 and flip the field, even though that'd be great. But if you're just able to kind of give your coverage team a shot, that's all I'm asking of you.
All right. Another thing we got to think about is, again, just staying on the Ryan Santoso topic, you know, he took the majority of the kickoffs as well, right? So he had, let's see, 52 kickoffs, 17 touchbacks, that's 32-ish percent. Mm-hmm. You know, he's another guy, you got Emmett Carpenter who only had two kickoffs, really, because he had, and both were touchbacks, but his other two were onside kick attempts, neither of which were successful. So that's another position you're going to have to replace. I got to imagine at this point, unless you know otherwise, I got to imagine that Emin Carpenter is going to fill that role as well.
I don't think so.
Really?
I say that because I don't want him to, because I want to save his leg. Because asking him to handle 50-plus kickoffs along with looking at what he did last year, he had 20 field goal attempts and 31 PATs. So that's 50 plus times he's using his leg. Well, if you're going to double that and put more on his plate and say that's a 48 yarder against Madison to win it, and he ends up short because his leg is fatigued, I mean, that doesn't look good. So I would rather Minnesota figure it out with, you know, one of the freshmen that they have. Maybe, again, Grant Wierse, maybe this can be your deal. Like, you're on scholarship. You have a leg. Maybe you're going to be the kickoff guy, because I just don't want that to be Emmett Carpenter, because I want to save that leg for maybe some important games in October or November that matter. Because you look at, again, Emmett Carpenter, 31 for 31 last year on PATs, 14 for 21 on field goals. That's 50-plus times that he had to use his leg in a meaningful situation. Now, Emmett did kick off four times last year. I don't want to add another 50 to his plate. And so who is that going to be? again, we've yet to see it in practice, and my special team sources don't want to reveal anything yet because, again, these are somewhat like Russian nuclear codes that they don't want to have get out in the world because, heaven forbid, anybody knows who's kicking off against New Mexico State. But you know how college football coaches are, Luke, and they're very secretive.
Right.
So, again, I mean, what is – I wouldn't – I mean, do you see where I'm coming from, though, with the whole Emmett Carpenter trying to save his leg situation?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I know people look at specialists and think they're divas, but and they are, and they deserve to be. But, you know, at the end of the day, I get your point. Like, managing and giving yourself an opportunity at the end of a game is important. So, yeah.
I mean, some NFL teams, and I think the Vikings did this, I think, a couple years ago, was on the 53, I mean, they had a punter, a kicker, and a kickoff guy. I mean, that's how seriously, I mean, some people take it. And again, that's where I'm just hesitant to kind of say, hey, Emmett, especially as you're trying to have, again, Emmett Carpenter, and we'll get to it here, I think, on our next portion, is the most accurate kicker in Gopher football history as he goes into his final year. Like, I would hate for that to not become a thing because he's got too much on his plate. So as I kind of look at the names that are there, I mean, maybe we're looking at Brock Walker, a freshman from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, a walk-on. Maybe he takes that. Maybe it's John Mack, a redshirt sophomore from Heartland, Wisconsin. Again, these names of Brock Walker, John Mack, Grant Rierce would be my bet, as I really don't want it to be Emma Carpenter.
All right, let's talk a little bit, you know, just coverage-wise. You got, you know, key returners, but I'm curious if they'll even see the field, that being like Blake Cashman. You know, he was a featured guy last year.
I think Cashman, and I asked him about this at Media Day. I was like, hey, man, like, you've made your hay, like, you know, in the special teams game. What do you think about doing that as a senior? And he goes, special teams is the reason I'm on scholarship. And he's right, because he's been Minnesota's best special team player. You know, he led Minnesota with 11 special teams tackles last year, and he's extremely vital because, again, you look at kickoff, we don't know who's going to be kicking off, but we can tell you last year it wasn't great for Minnesota being able to kind of flip the field and keep an opponent pinned within their 25 or 30. Minnesota's kickoff success rate last year, 58.9%. Great. What does that mean, Ryan? It means Minnesota was 1/15th out of 128 FBS teams. That's bottom 10%. Not good. So, again, you need whoever the kicker is to be able to help their special teams guys, whether it's Blake Cashman, Julian Huff, you know, Carter Coughlin, and whoever these young freshmen are that are going to be covering. It makes a difference, especially in tight games.
Yeah, and then you've got guys like, I got to imagine Julian Huff's going to get some run, but, you know, I believe that Jalen Waters moved on, right? He's a guy that
he is no longer a part of the Gopher program.
Right, and he's a guy that's, you know, played a vital role. He had six tackles last year on special teams tackles, and he always seemed to be in the middle, whether it was picking up
a penalty.
I'll say
this. If you're looking for this year's Blake Cashman of sorts, even though Blake Cashman will be this year's Blake Cashman,
yeah,
like a walk-on linebacker that you haven't heard of yet, but you're going to be excited to see him making open field tackles on kickoff and on punt, keep in mind the name Bailey Schoenfelder. He's number 43 in your programs. He's number one in your hearts. He is a redshirt sophomore from Huron, South Dakota, someone that I know PJ and staff and special teams coach Rob Wenger like a lot. And so if you're looking for somebody who's going to be making a lot of plays special teams wise, I would say Bailey Schoenfelder is the name to watch.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about returns, punt returns. Boy, last year, I mean, that was just fair. Fair catches everywhere.
Yikes.
Right. And returns were, I think they had 9 returns on the season. Right.
Okay. Luke, I know that you're looking at the same stats I am. So, can you tell the folks how many punt returns Minnesota had last year?
It was a total of 9.
And how many were the fair caught?
They had 21.
And what? I know it doesn't say there on the website that I gave you there, but Minnesota's long in the punt return game. Can anyone guess? Luke, can you guess what Minnesota's long in the punt return game on their 9 punt return attempts were?
Well, I believe it was Drew Himaleski, and I think it was like 9 yards.
I am extremely impressed right now. That is 100% spot on correct.
Thank you.
I doubted you. I don't know why I doubted you.
I don't know why you did either. I remember
so
that.
9 punt returns on the year. Drew Himaleski had 5 of them. He averaged 5 yards Antonio Chenault had four. He averaged 2.8. So here's the thing. Like, Antonio Chenault was back there in 20 punts. More than that, but he caught the ball on 20 of them, okay? 16 of those 20 he just fair caught. Doesn't help at all, including one that he fumbled. And then four of those, he averaged 2.8 yards. Like, can we get any help in the punt return game to potentially flip the field?
Well, part of me wonders if that was very much a strategic thing by the staff that they
Well, then that was an awful strategy, because I don't understand it at all. Like, do you literally not trust your punt returners at all to make a play? I mean, maybe they don't, because both of them lost a fumble. But, like, you look at the punt return success rate, 22.2%. That's 126th out of 128 teams. That's the third worst in college football.
Right.
You need to have someone be dynamic in the return game. And his name cannot be Rodney Smith, because he is already going to get 25 touches a game. I don't want him to get bludgeoned as a punt returner or bludgeoned as a kickoff returner anymore. I don't want that. Well, he's already got enough on his plate.
Yeah, and let's actually...
And Himoleski's no longer a part of the program. I don't want to see any more Antonio Chenault being a punt returner anyway. So who does that put back there? Again, I haven't seen all... I mean, I've seen like 10 names in practice. Like, I've seen Tyler Johnson, Rashad Bateman, Terrell Smith, Antoine Winfield, Nolan Edmonds, Bryce Williams. Again, I don't know what Minnesota does, but my God, do they need some help in the punt return game and in the kickoff return game.
What about that kid from the spring game that caught the punt?
I don't remember. You know how descriptive that is?
wasn't there, like, from the spring game or, like, some sort of practice where they kicked it, he caught it, and the guys didn't have to run, right? And he did catch it. I thought that was hilarious. But nobody but me remembers that.
I forgot about that, the random fan that came on.
Yeah.
Oh, that was so cringy trying to watch him feel the punt.
But let's talk the kick returners.
Anyways.
Like, we both know that Rodney Smith has had some success over his career. Neither of us want him to be returning kicks for obvious reasons. Shannon Brooks is gone, and so is Kobe McCrary. So no one from last year's roster do we either want or is going to be available to return kicks this year. So where do they go there?
I mean, you look at the kick return game last year. Minnesota had, if my University of Minnesota education is correct, 35 kicks returned last year, and they were all from running backs. Shannon Brooks, Rodney Smith, and Kobe McCrary each returned kicks last year. Shannon Brooks won't be a part of that until at least November. Rodney Smith, I pray, is not a part of that, because he's already got enough on his plate, and the Kobe McCrary is no longer in the program. So, again, where does that leave you? And I know you guys are searching for answers, and you're like, oh, Ryan, this is literally why we're listening to the podcast. Give me the names. I can give you about 10 names. I mean, I can give you Tyler Johnson, Nolan Edmonds, Bryce Williams, Mohamed Ibrahim. I mean, Rodney Smith is still back there taking kicks, which, shaking my head right now, is trying to imagine him getting hurt on one of those return games. And then it's like, what in the effing world are you doing putting him back there? Terrell Smith, Antoine Winfield, Rashad Bateman, Chris Ottman-Bell. I mean, if I had to make a educated guess, I mean, I would say, oh boy. I mean, if history repeats itself, you're looking at a running back. And so you got to be thinking Nolan Edmonds or Bryce Williams. But I also think Tyler Johnson or Chris Ottman-Bell or Rashad Bateman or Demetrius Douglas are going to be options. And I also think I should probably include Demetrius Douglas in that punt return game as well. So I think you're going to be looking at brand new names. And I hope you're looking at brand new names for the various reasons we've given in the punt and kick return game. Kick return game, Minnesota was average last year, 74th. It's fine. I mean, again, but why we're making such a big deal out about special teams and why we're devoting a whole podcast episode to is it because it matters. I mean, in close games, it's all about field position and special teams. Again, if Jacob Herbers is able to pin him 52 yards deep and it's fair caught, miss 50 yards, you flip the field.
Right.
I mean, say you were pinned at your own 15, well, he just kicked it all the way to the opponent 30. Well, that's a big deal.
Right.
I mean, you're not having them start at midfield anymore. I mean, or maybe in that same situation, it's a bad punt, and they're backed up in their own end zone. The defense did their job. Maybe the punt returner is able to get you 10, 15 yards and set your offense up on a short field. I mean, it's all big deals.
Right. So. And I mean, it comes down to it's something like on average, close to a quarter of the plays a game are from special teams, right? Whether that's a kickoff, a punt, a kick return, right. a punt return, or a field goal or extra mm-hmm. point, right? There, I mean, it's a lot of plays and you got to be consistent and good. And I guess maybe the bright spot on specials teams that we have, you know, is Emmett Carpenter. He is the most accurate kicker in Gopher history thus far. 31 of 31 on PATs, 14 of 20 on field goals last year. 70%, not bad. He was the kicker of the year, his freshman year, I believe? His redshirt freshman year. He'll be, I believe he's a junior this year. Please correct me if I'm wrong.
Emmett Carpenter, I believe, is going to be going into his final year of eligibility.
Oh, okay. So I was wrong.
Which... to your wife, that would be no surprise. To me, that would be a surprise.
Right.
Yes, he will be a redshirt senior.
Okay. So, I mean, but he's been pretty steady. 70% on field goals isn't bad. I think he had a better sophomore year than he did junior year. But,
correct.
You know,
in his career, he's 36 of 44. He's converted 81.8% of his field goals. It's number one in program history.
Yeah, you still can't argue with the stats, right? I think that, as a unit that field goal, Herbers, and then Peyton Jordahl at long snapper. I mean, they've got some experience together. I got to imagine that we can more or less rely on that unit, especially on PATs. Hopefully we see a slight uptick on that 70% and we can get a few of those 40 plus yarders in. But I do think that that's probably maybe the one area of strength that the special teams unit can kind of hang its hat on, at least right now.
Yes, when you look at so much unproven, whether it's a punter, kickoff guy, punt returner, kick returner, I mean, Emmett is literally the nail that you're hanging all this on. You're depending on a kicker. And again, me being a Vikings fan throughout my entire career, I mean, or into my entire life anyway, I mean, Gary Anderson, 1998, I mean, Blair Walsh against the Seattle Seahawks, I mean, these guys have so much pressure on their shoulders. And again, I mention that because I bring up the misses you only remember just certain things. And Emmett going into his final year, 81.8% conversion rate on his field goals, number one in program history. I mean, he's been very good. And I hope people can appreciate a redshirt senior kicker, because next year, I mean, you're likely going to be relying on freshmen. Minnesota's bringing in a scholarship kicker in Camden Lewis. I believe he's the number four rated kicker in the country, according to Cole's Kicking, which is the, in my opinion anyway, the kicking recruiting service, best one out there. And then they have the number one long snapper in the country to replace Peyton Jordahl and Brady Weeks from Missouri. So, again, they're going to be relying on Peyton to give his holder a chance on field goals and PATs, and then give the brand new punter something to kind of, be able to do something with. Nothing near his ankles, all right around his midsection, easy to catch, tight spiral. He'll be able to go from there. So, again, I think if you don't have Emmett be the kickoff guy, which I don't want you to be because I don't want that leg to be fatigued. I mean, you look at the 3 years he's kicked. He's kicked 20 field goals last year, 24 in 2016. And then as a freshman, he wasn't able to get on the field, but again, 20 and 24 field goals plus numerous PATs, 30 plus. I mean, I just want to save that leg a little bit. So we'll see what ends up happening. But again, I think you are banking a lot on Emmett Carpenter and Peyton Jordahl.
Yeah, I think that you're right. I just hope that they can get to a point where I'm not nervous with every punt return, right? That was a position last year that I was – it was just frighteningly uncomfortable watching on punt returns. I just want at least steady play. I want to be above, the top 80 in the country. I cringe when I look at these. I cringe when I look at this like punt
and
success
that's not the
rate
way it
and like
be.
No, it shouldn't. And we were and let's again, we were really spoiled. It with Jerry Kill, they had very good special teams to your point, and that is what won them a couple extra ball games. And we know the value that special teams can bring, and you can't win it all scoring points.
And you need these guys to flip the field. You need these guys to just do their jobs. And again, whether that's a 45-yard punt, no return, whether that's, you know, either Minnesota asking the kickoff guy to boot it through the end zone or place it at,
yeah,
you know, place it near the goal line outside the numbers.
Well,
you know, different things like that.
We got some feedback on the defensive podcast saying that, you know, maybe we were a little hard on Rob Smith and the defense just in general. And, you know, maybe we were. You look at some of these special team stats. We know the Gophers had a lot of three and outs.
Maybe we should be a lot harder on Rob Wenger.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe, because at the end of the day, like, the offense definitely played into that. It's why football is the ultimate team sport, right? Because the offense can impact the special teams, which can impact the defense, which can, you know, it all has a trickle down effect, and all units need to be strong to find success. And, you know, the Gophers were fortunate in the Pete Mortel days where he bailed them out of some bad situations, right? And you can think of like the Purdue game where Ryan Santoso hit a like 50 yarder to win the game, you know, at Minnesota when they had an early lead. You know, some of these special teams need to bail you out in moments, and hopefully they'll be able to do that this year and the years going forward.
If Minnesota is going to get to a bowl game this year, they need much better special team play. I mean, it's as simple as that.
No question.
Whether it's your returners helping you flip the field for an offense that we've talked about is going to be extremely young, or whether it's your punt game and your kickoff return game being able to help your defense that is going to need some help as well. If you're going to get to a bowl game, Minnesota needs better special teams play all the way around.
Yeah, and they need to. And to your point, they need to do this without being able having to rely on Rodney Smith for everything, right? Like they were halfway decent in kick returns at 74, you know, 42.9% success rate, but you know, more than a third of those came from Rodney Smith, and they need someone other than him to do that. And you know, you can't place all your eggs in one basket like they've seemingly done too often. So it'll be a very interesting development to watch, and especially again with this freshman redshirt rule, right? How many guys are going to get to play special teams just to get a flavor of, you know, whether it's Big Ten play or just, you know, college football in general? It'll be, again, that red shirt Twitter that we're looking for. Somebody's got to take that responsibility, go for Twitter. You need to be responsible.
They certainly do. So let's hope that they're able to do that.
All right. So we want to thank everyone again for listening, especially ranting about special teams, which obviously, you know, most sports talk radio shows are not going to focus on very much. So if you like what you're hearing, we'd appreciate if you would rate and subscribe to the podcast. Maybe let a friend know about it if you're enjoying it. So yeah, we want to thank you for listening, and go Gophers.